but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Well, the Oregon Ducks had their spring game on Saturday at Autzen Stadium. Can we start there? Can we start talking about that spring game? Can we start there with Zachary Neal, our guest who is coming up here? He covers the Oregon Ducks. Just the fact that Oregon had a spring game while other teams are not having the spring game, how much credit do they get? Zachary Neal covers the Ducks for USA Today's Duck Wire. He is the co-host of Believe in Oregon podcast with Jonathan Stewart. He's also a writer at Athlon Sports and a University of Oregon alum. Zachary Neal joining us now. Hey, how much credit does Oregon deserve for having the game, Zachary?
I think at least a little bit of credit, right? I mean, when you've got so many big-name colleges across the nation kind of canceling their game or at least changing the form of it to an open practice, I just thought it was really refreshing this year that Dan came out and said, hey, as long as I'm here, we're going to have a spring game. I think it's because he really sees the value in it. Yes, there's risks. You know, it's tackle football. You're risking players getting injured, which is the last thing you want before the season starts. But he knows how big of a recruiting tool this is. I mean, they had at least five-star players on campus this week. You know, the number one player in the nation in Jackson Campbell on campus this week to kind of see that atmosphere, see what the fans are like, see what a game day is like in Eugene. I think it worked for him, too. I think that was probably the biggest success of this weekend. You know, the game doesn't matter. It's fun for fans to see the players, see the new guys. But, you know, in the end, I think this is really just a major recruiting tool. And is it any surprise that Dan Lanning has found a way to, you know, figure out ways to recruit better? I'm not shocked by it.
Dante Moore, Austin Novosad, Luke Moga. To me, Zachary, they all looked good enough to start and win games at Oregon. What did you make of the quarterback competition?
Yeah, I read your article about that on Saturday. I largely agree. I don't think that this is a team that, you know, like teams in the past, you know, some of those Oregon teams, they needed Bo Nix to be spectacular. They needed Justin Herbert to be spectacular to succeed. This Oregon team's not built like that. I think this defense can win you a ton of games this year, no matter who's a quarterback. So Dante Moore, Austin Novosad, Luke Boga, none of them did anything really that impressed me too much. I don't think any of them lost the job. I don't think any of them won the job. I know we talked a couple weeks ago. My money would be on Dante Moore. I think he's going to end up being the guy. But I think, just like you wrote this weekend, any of these guys can run this offense to an above-average level. I think that they could win 10 games with any of them.
How do you keep them all happy? How do you keep them engaged?
Oh, man. I think Dan's doing a really good job, and we talked about this a little bit too. You keep it as an open competition and make sure that they know that they all have a shot. And that, you know, you're not naming a quarterback right now because you're just trying to make sure that everyone at least feels like they're competing for something and they're not just running an uphill battle. I don't know what conversations are like behind closed doors. I'm sure they've got some sense of where they are on the depth chart, but that doesn't mean that the depth chart's final. I mean, these guys are going to battle it out for the next few months in the fall camp.
Is there a chance that they lose somebody in the portal, you know, or somebody who just says, hey, I'm not going to play, I'm going to sit out a year? You know, is there still a chance here in the run-up to the season that there's a flight risk somewhere with somebody who doesn't want to use a year of eligibility? Or do you feel like because the window closed, this is kind of the room?
There's always that chance. I remember last year, Ben Roberts, I mean, the window closed on, I think, Thursday or Friday, whatever day it was last week, the transfer portal window closed. The same thing happened last year. It closed before the game, and then I think it was the Tuesday after the game, Ben Roberts, who was one of the, you know, at least on the two deep for the defensive line, announced that he was transferring and going to Michigan State. So that kind of came as a surprise. It was like, oh, I thought the window was closed, but, you know, you can put paperwork in whenever and then announce on your own time. So it's, I don't think that it's out of question that someone could still announce they're transferring. I don't really expect any major names to enter the portal. But then there's, you know, look at Bear Alexander last year with USC. After, you know, a few games said, hey, I'm going to utilize my redshirt into the portal now. So that's certainly always a possibility.
Zachary Neal with us, covers the Ducks for USA Today. Zachary, the defense is a question for me. Gave up 41 to Ohio State, gave up 37 to Penn State in the Big Ten title game. Did you get a sense of how this team will be on the defensive side of the ball?
A little bit. I mean, I came away the most impressed with them on Saturday. And again, it's a spring game. You're going up against a vanilla offense with an offensive line that is, you know, makeshift at best. I think they gave up 11 quote-unquote sacks in that game. And, of course, sack is two-hand touch. So take that with a massive grain of salt. But I was impressed just because it's filled with so many young guys, so many redshirt freshmen, redshirt sophomores. And they all looked very competent and confident and like they knew what they were doing and they knew how to run the scheme. So, again, that will be very different when you're playing teams that you aren't playing in practice every day. But I think that is going to be more of the identity of this team, is kind of a hard-nosed defensive team. This is not going to be a Chip Kelly score 49 points every game. I think this team can win a lot of games scoring 28 to 35 points and be just fine with that.
I am curious about Tosh Lapoy. You have watched him. Is there growth there for him on the defensive side as the coordinator?
I think so. Yeah, it's interesting because I know as well as I do that Dan Lanning and everyone on his coaching staff, they say the right things in the media. They're not going to give you anything. So I would be really curious to see how those conversations go behind closed doors, because yes, there have been massive needs for improvement over the past few years. You mentioned Penn State and Ohio State last year. Definitely, you know, some things you want to clean up. I have confidence that they will going forward, but it's something to continue to watch down the road, because you can't continually have these big games every year where the defense is the issue.
I am looking at what Dan Lanning has built. I'm seeing 10 players in the draft. What are the takeaways there? As you see kind of the trend with talent and Oregon's expectations, you're around this program on a daily basis.
Yeah, I mean, they feel good about the players that they're bringing in, and I think they feel good about the way they're developing them, whether that's, you know, a 3 or 4 year development out of high school or it's a 1 or 2 year development out of transfer portal. I think that, you know, I had a conversation with Jonathan Stewart and Joey Harrington about this on my podcast yesterday, about it's not so much about developing players anymore, but rather about creating a platform for players to come in and jump to the next level, if that makes sense. So you only have a limited amount of time with some of these guys. You need to try and give them as much as you can in that window and set them up for success. But I think that they do that as well as anyone in the nation, and they feel pretty good about it.
I am looking at this year's schedule, and certainly the Penn State game jumps off. Oregon's going to have to go to Penn State and try to win a game. But where else on this schedule does it get interesting for you?
I think, yeah, that's definitely the first one. Outside of that, they're all very winnable games. I think they'll be favored in every game outside of that. They've got USC late in the year. Washington will be interesting. You know, Washington has had a down year, obviously, but I think that they could be a candidate to bounce back a little bit. Jed Fish, I think, is a solid coach. Demond Williams, a really good quarterback. I think Jonah Coleman, really solid running back. They've got pieces. I could see them having a decent year. Not that they would, you know, upset Oregon, but it could be an interesting game. But then you look at, you know, in this new day and age of college football, if you look at the postseason, I think that's what matters the most is, you know, you can lose one or two games at most in the regular season, and as long as you're healthy and hitting your stride, once December comes, then I think you're in a good spot.
I am really interested in, you know, who the wide receiver group, and it was like play after play after play on Saturday at the scrimmage. Feels like it's going to be a great group. And then you look at the tight end room as well, and I think, you know, with Terrence Ferguson gone, it looks still looks to me like Oregon and Will Stein have some massive weapons and a variety of players they can get involved. What did you see from the receiving core and the tight ends?
Yeah, starting with tight end, I mean, it feels like since Kenyon Sadiq came here as a true freshman 2 years ago, everyone's just been kind of waiting for, you know, the leash to be taken off and for him to just kind of flourish in this offense. And because of Terrence Ferguson, he didn't have as much of an opportunity. He got that opportunity on Saturday. He led the team with 7 catches for 102 yards. He hurdled over another player like he did in the Big Ten Championship game, so that was kind of, it was just really great to see what he could do when he's one of the top options on the offense. And then when you look at the wide receiver room, there's so much talent there. A lot of it's still young and unproven. I think that group had a great day, and Evan Stewart didn't even play in the game. So, you know, Bakorian Moore, the true freshman, looks like the real deal. He looks like he's going to be a great player. Kyler Casper, I think, is going to be good. Jeremiah McClellan, you've got a lot of different pieces. It's just going to be about finding the guys who actually step up on Saturdays in the fall, because it's going to look and feel different than a spring game. Who's going to actually answer that call?
Yeah, I don't know why. I'm just not worried about the offense. I'm not worried about the quarterbacks. I'm not worried about the offense. I always just come back to, you know, can this team win big games? Can it go to Iowa and win, you know, against a team that might win 8 or 9 games? Can it go to Penn State and beat a team that people are projecting to be at the top of the standings? Will, you know, can it get to the Big Ten title game? And if it gets there and it gets a rematch with, you know, a team that's built like Ohio State, can it avoid embarrassing itself? I guess what I'm saying is the stakes have risen to the point where, like, I'm nitpicking Oregon's operation. You know, 10 wins, 12 wins, 13 wins. Can Dan Lanning keep the trajectory going, or do you expect that there'd be a little plateau here and maybe the window isn't open?
Yeah, that's the major question going into this year. I mean, this year more than anything is about development and trust in Dan Lanning's development. And that's not only his development of players on the roster, because this is his, you know, this team is made up now of Hall and his recruits and his transfer portal additions, but also his development of a coach, as himself as a coach. You know, it'll be interesting to see if he can learn from some of those mistakes in game over the past few years and grow from them. You know, it's going to be a big year to answer a lot of questions for sure.
I am excited to see how it goes. I appreciate you joining us. For people who want to see Zachary's work, obviously, if you're an Oregon Duck fan, I encourage you to check him out. USA Today, he is my go-to, obviously, on this show. We bring Zachary Neal on, but USA Today's Ducks Wire, great place to find him. Also on Twitter, at Zachary C. Neal. And then you're doing the podcast with Jonathan Stewart. How's that going?
It's going good, man. It's, you know, I don't know how much time you spend around Jonathan Stewart, but he is a lot of fun. We tend to go off the rails every now and again, but you know, he's a great guy. He loves golf just like I love golf, so we end up talking a lot of golf, and yeah, we had a great time. He's a lot of fun.
What was it like for you, because you were a student at Oregon and now you're covering Oregon? What's that experience like for you?
You know, it's sometimes tough to take your fan hat off. Definitely, that's one thing that I've gotten a lot better at over the years. But as Scott Van Pelt has always famously said, we're all from somewhere, you know. So it's not possible to completely remove myself. But, you know, when I'm in the press box, when I'm in interviews, try and be as absolutely unbiased and professional as possible. But, you know, I grew up in Eugene. I went to Oregon. I went to South Eugene. So I'm looking at a poster on my wall of Jonathan Stewart and Dennis Dixon right now as we talk. So that's in me, but I still try and be a professional as well.
Zachary Neal, you're the best. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. There he is. You can read him. USA Today, Ducks Wire, covers Oregon football. I don't know why I'm not worried about the quarterbacks. I just kind of think, like, they're good there. They'll figure that out. Will Stein, I have no questions about Oregon's offense. I just don't. They've got receivers. They've got backs. They've got the tight end. The offensive line looks great. All of my questions are about Tosh Lapoy and the defense. And I think it's justified. when you give up a 40-burger to Ohio State, you just look like you can't ever stop Chip Kelly. You just got outmatched. I have questions. And Penn State did the same thing. There are questions. A lot of questions about those programs and that side of the ball, but a lot of questions about the defensive coordinator and the defense in general. I want you to leave it here. Get the BFT.